And you are listening to the Fans for Wrestling show here on FOW Radio. I am Patrick. With me is always Denny Danger. And Eric, you are back. Welcome back, pal. We've missed you.
Am I better than ever? I don't really know.
Well, I guess, I mean, if anybody would know, you would know.
Then I guess I'm not, because I have no clue.
That's different conversation for a different podcast. Well, you know, it's all good. Is Danny talking?
I am not, but I am here.
Okay, cool. It's funny because when somebody talks, I can see, like your icon moving. So I don't know, maybe that was just a surrounding sound.
Alas, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that. But we're here.
But
the three of us are together.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a long time. Of course,
always somewhere. I know. And I thought the three of us would be reunited live in person at the WrestleK, but Eric, you're not going to make it this year.
Nope. Got adult shit to do.
That darn adult.
Saying that wrestling is not adult stuff? Hanging out with your friends for several days is not adult stuff?
It is not.
This is our annual friends vacation, sir. It's not just a wrestling. It's more than a wrestling convention. It's the one time a year when we get to hang out all together for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. Vacations don't pay the bills, my guy.
Yeah, well, I guess that's right. It's true. I mean, he does have a point there.
You can make him pay the bills, though. You just got to be creative. There's plenty of lonely single people there who might enjoy some company for a little while. They all got hotel rooms, okay?
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Some of them just want somebody to, you know, hang out while they do stuff. You don't even have to touch the person.
No, thank you.
You've never been somebody's leader spoon?
Nope.
You know?
No plans to.
Maybe they just want somebody to body slam on the comfy bed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No thanks. It's swantons or get out.
Maybe they want somebody to swanton. You haven't even asked them, have you?
No thank you. It's me doing the swanton on a bed, not on anybody.
What fun is that? If you're not actually inflicting bodily harm on another human being.
It's the best fun.
Yeah. Maybe it's not about the fun.
The fun is the destination, not the journey.
Yeah.
It's the friends we made along the way, and these friends are going to miss you.
Aww.
We definitely will. Speaking of journeys, WWE Superstars made the journey to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Of course, I think days before the event, there was talk about Iran making threats to Saudi Arabia, and like there were questions about, you know, is this show going to happen? But of course,
it was always going to happen. Vince, you know, the WWE was always going to let it happen. You know? I mean, they did Survivor Series when there was a bomb threat on the building or whatever. Somebody threatened a terrorist attack here in Atlanta during Survivor Series. They did not cancel the event. They just brought in, like, some National Guard guys to stand around with really big guns and freak everybody the fuck out.
Yeah, that was fun.
So yeah. They would definitely let the event happen because it was well planned in advance. There was too much money going on, you know. The wrestlers were already halfway around the world because before before they got to Saudi Arabia, they did a very short European tour. as kind of like the midway point, I guess they were like, oh, most of our superstars are going to have layovers in Europe anyways. You know, we might as well do a few shows here and make some extra money, you know, in the UK as we kind of look to build up, you know, the brand here and create the NXT Europe and all that stuff. So the superstars were there for a few days in Europe before going to before heading all the way to Saudi Arabia at the end of the week.
Yeah, well, the show happened, and of course, headlined by Brock Lesnar versus Logan Paul. Of course, no Sami Zayn.
Who was the main event now? Who was the main event?
Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul.
There you go. You said Brock Lesnar versus Logan Paul. Just wanted to make sure we were calling the same match.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Sami Zayn because he might have actually been killed. If he
went. Same with MVP.
Yeah.
MVP couldn't go because he's a Muslim that was converted atheist, and that's like punishable by death in Saudi.
Yeah. Well, Sammy, and because he's of Syrian descent, but also because he's done so much charity work for Syrian refugees that, you know, and Saudi Arabia and Syria have never been friends or, you know. So they definitely Sammy would have been potentially unsafe there as well.
Yeah. But alas, the show must go on.
So Carl Anderson was there, despite saying that he would never go back to WWE. And, you know, especially because of the Saudi stuff was things that he quoted. You know, he didn't like the Saudi deal and all this. And he's back a couple weeks and going to Saudi Arabia, baby. You know, he said never say never, but he was saying never. And never.
Unless the wife needed a pool.
He said unless he needed a second pool for his house or something.
So I guess we need a pool.
Hopefully homie's getting that pool put in this week, you know. Good prices now because it's off season. So go ahead and get on it.
Hey, why not? While the pool is fresh. All right, so we start off with a 6-minute match, Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley just threw a bunch of spears. Brock Lesnar threw a bunch of suplexes. And then an F5 later. And Brock Lesnar defeats Bobby Lashley.
Chris? I mean, it was, yeah, a little shorter than I thought and a little odd to open the show, but, you know. To have Brock open the show, I mean, I thought he was a marquee attraction.
Brock said he wanted to get the fuck out. Gotcha. Brock said there wasn't going to be nothing that happened the last time.
Okay.
When they detained him on the tarmac for like 15 hours, Brock said that shit ain't happening this time.
Did he have his own separate plane?
This time, I think so, yeah.
I mean,
the last time, no. So I don't really blame him.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
he wants his match before intermission so that he could go out and sell merch at intermission, brother, and then hit, you know, then get the heck out of there.
Pretty much.
I don't know if that's how that works in WWE.
Fun match. Yeah, I mean, these guys don't sell their own merch, you know. That's why.
Oh, come on, brother. They got selling their own merch, and he wanted to get out of there before they tried to make him break down the ring.
I mean, he already broke the ring at SummerSlam. So,
I didn't see him load that shit on a truck.
Next up, Damage Control defeated Alexa Bliss and Asuka to regain their women's championships.
That they lost. They had lost only ago.
Yeah, it was like a few days earlier. Then they regained them.
Because of Nikki. Crazy ass Nikki. I missed her.
Didn't we all? Yeah. That was another fun match. Drew McIntyre defeated Karrion Kross in the steel cage match. Yeah. That's all I had in my notes here. They had a cage match.
Apparently, Drew had the flu pretty bad.
Going into that match?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad, because then that means that maybe Karrion had to do a little bit more carrying work. But you know, Drew's a warrior. That's what he does. You know, they said, oh, he's got the flu. He's like, hey, man, I'm advertised for this match. People are counting on me to go out there and kick somebody in the face.
Remember when he was out there and kick somebody in the face?
Remember when he was the chosen one?
Yeah, I do. Remember when he was in a band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Indeed. All right. Judgment Day defeated the OC. Of course, yeah. They have no answer for Rhea Ripley.
Not yet.
I mean, they have an answer for Rhea now.
They called in a reckoning.
What did you guys think about that?
About Rhea coming back?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to have her back, and especially if they're going to kind of push her as kind of a strong, powerful force, I guess. It's cool, you know, but I mean, at the same time, like, Mia has no real previous connection to anybody involved there, really. So they just like, oh, we need somebody who's a free agent, and they found somebody, and that's cool. You know, I guess it would have been a little bit cool if there was more of a tie, if there was somebody who, you know, fought against Rhea or had, you know, had some kind of connection to AJ and or the Good Brothers at some point in time. So it's like, oh, we called an old friend. But, you know, it's cool to have Mia back. Let's see what she does. I mean, I think we were hoping that War Games would have involved Beth Phoenix.
It still, you know, could.
Squaring off with Rhea.
It
could, but I mean, it's more than likely going to be Mia Yim in there with them now.
Yeah. It should be 515, though, right? So,
Judgment, they gonna add another girl?
I figure if the women's match is gonna be 515, maybe this one might be 515. I don't know.
Maybe Rhea gets added to the women's side on Damage Control.
And they add Mia there for
Mia and Beth.
That could be possible.
Because, yeah, I don't think they're going to do War Games with, like, the guys and girls mixed together. I think they're going to have purely just guys and purely just girls in there. So
that makes sense, yeah.
I could definitely see me and somebody else in one, and then they just add Rhea to the other one. So, you know.
So they have no allegiance to the team. They just want to beat somebody who's on the other side.
I mean, it's like the good old Survivor Series, right? You just put, you know, five baby faces and five heels, and, you know, they just fight it out.
This is fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, but usually they would have, yeah, there would be no other connection versus, oh, you don't like this guy and he's on that team, and I don't like this guy and he's on that team, so we're going to team together to beat up both of these guys. Yeah.
I mean, that was literally the definition of like, the first Rumble that are the first Survivor Series that I watched. Yeah, it was like this person doesn't like this person, and then this person.
I mean, that was the theme for like 20 years, you know, till everybody kind of started factioning up a little bit, or you'd have at least one faction, and then here are the guys that were wronged by said faction now teaming together, you know. But other than that, yeah, it was like this tag team and this tag team and these two other teams that are feuding with those other two teams, you know, like.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, I did like it how back in the day they would give them names, you know.
Yeah.
To the teams, you know.
Yeah.
I always
thought. Well, they would also usually, you know, it wasn't just a random put together, like they would announce the teams in advance and these kind of things. So, yeah, so them having names was kind of a cool thing to like. Be like, oh, there's solidarity in this, you know?
Yeah. Like, for example, if we go back to, you know, 1994, the Survivor Series, you had the ones that you did, Rachel Ramon, Dione and the British Bulldog, they were the bad guys. And then you had Diesel, Shawn Michaels, Jeff Jarrett, and Jim Neidhart as the Teamsters. I never understood Teamsters.
The Teamsters?
Yes.
Who the... Okay.
Vince? That's who. Jesus.
It was, they were working class men, just like union Teamsters.
Yeah.
I guess that was supposed to be the gimmick or something.
Yeah. I mean, they only had 3 Survivor Series matches that year. I think the other one was the Royal Family, which Lawler with all the little people against Clowns R Us, which was Doink Dink.
Doink and all the little clowns.
Yeah.
Doink, Stink, Dink, and Stink.
Stink and Twink and...
No, it was Doink, Dink, Pink, and Wink.
Twink, and Stink.
And then, of course, the Million Dollar Team against Guts and Glory, which was Adam Bomb, the Smoking Guns, Lex Luger, and Mabel. So... I mean, you just put a bunch of babyface together, give them a name, and all this stuff,
Mm-hmm.
So, why not put them all together and have a match? I kind of went back to 1994 without really going back to 1994. No, but maybe just because
you went 1994 without going WCW 94, which is what we really, really hated.
Oh, that definitely is.
Because it was all Hulk and the Butcher and...
This is only a
fucking Kevin Sullivan wearing stupid ass makeup for no reason, and
this is only a four match pay per view. Maybe we should give this one a watch.
Nope.
No, let's not.
Because I'm already gonna have to watch it once. I don't want to watch it twice.
How about you watch it and tell us how bad it is.
When are you gonna watch it once?
I don't know. I do a watch through of all the big four every year. So I just started Survivor Series.
Oh yeah, well, cool.
And I got begrudgingly got through 88 or 87, whatever fucking year it was, one of the 80s years, and it was terrible.
Yes.
Anything with Hogan headlining is terrible.
Hey now.
But WrestleMania 3, brother.
Was terrible. Outside of one match, and it didn't involve Hogan.
But he lifted the giant,
Don't care.
Nobody in the history of the universe had ever done that before.
Don't care.
Despite the 45 guys who had already done that by that time.
Yeah.
None of them did it in the Silverdome full of 93,000 people, brother.
Or was it the Superdome?
And millions watching around the world.
You did that wrong. It's the millions. And then you have to pause.
And sniff or something. Because he's always sniffing like he's doing lines or something backstage before he comes out.
I mean, he might be.
You smell what he's cooking. And that's why he's so jerky and shaky when he's wrestling. Because he's geeked out.
He's got a good show on NBC, though.
Okay, let's get back here. Braun Strowman versus Omos. Yeah, we're just gonna skip that. The Usos,
but it was 5 stars, brother. And they didn't do any. I know who needs flippy dippy shit.
Well, speaking of flippy, the Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. 10 minutes. I feel like this match should be really short. This could have been longer.
I agree.
I mean,
both are good tag teams.
Yes. But, you look at the Usos, though, they're on another level. I mean, many say that, it was the Tribal Chief's greatness has elevated the Usos. But they had just been in fuego for the last few years. But right now, their title run, they're great. Fun, and the Brawling Brutes are really fun to watch. Of course, unfortunately, Sheamus not available. honeymooning and whatnot. But yeah, really fun tag team match.
And Ridge Holland didn't almost kill anybody, so that's a good thing.
Always a good thing. Bianca Belair defeated Bayley in the last women's standing match.
Just give the title to Bayley already, for fuck's sake.
No, she don't need it. She's over without it.
Don't care. She needs it. Yeah. Oh, I should have changed my playbook. Fuck. It was a good match, though. I say give it to Bayley. Yeah. Like, I'm not excited about Bianca still being champion, but you know, shit happened.
And all right, in your main event, Roman Reigns defeated Logan Paul for the undisputed the Universal Championship. Logan Paul, of course, his brother Jake Paul was also there, knocking people out. But what about Logan? Looking great there. Tore his, I think, MCL in the
process. MCA, MCL, ACL, and his meniscus. So he pretty much wrecked his knee.
Yup.
Completely. And he six months out, easy.
Like him or not, I mean,
fuck that cracker.
You guys have to respect.
I mean, the guy's put in the fucking work. I mean, we noticed that when he battled Seth, you know, at SummerSlam or whatever. And I mean, he surprised the hell out of a lot of people because everybody expected him to kind of be like a, you know, think he was going to be just another celebrity, you know, who'd only been who'd only been training for a little bit. But there's no way he'd only been training for, you know, a few weeks or a couple months. I mean, the guy goes in there and the guy fucking throws everything he's got. I mean, props to him for doing that, but fuck that cracker.
What's crazy is that's like the second straight celebrity that WWE's brought in that's just been like, you know what, fuck this shit. We're going to go hard. Bad Bunny.
Hard, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think now the celebrities who want to get involved are taking it more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, than just, oh, I'm going to show up and, you know, I'm going to be in a multiple person tag match and I'm going to go in there and hit two or three moves and take, you know, get the pin and stuff. Like, they want to show the fuck out. You know, that may be WWE pushing them to be like, hey, if you're going to do this, like, you're going to fucking do it. You know, like, we want you to train this much of time beforehand, before you even sign on the dotted line. Like, it's conditional of you, you know, being at a certain level, or guaranteeing to commit to so much, you know, beforehand. You can't just, you know, take a couple days before the show and hit the wrestling ring for the first time and then go out there and do it. I mean, so it may be a combination of both. It may be the guy, you know, the athletes taking it more seriously. It may be WWE saying, okay, if you're gonna do this now, you gotta fucking do it. You can't, you know, snooky this. You can't, you know, fucking you know, just go in there and hit a couple moves and you know, not take any bumps and then, you know, get the pin.
Because the last good celebrity before this, like, little lineup or whatever was Mickey Rourke, honestly. I mean, Rourke went in and he put in the work and he actually did well with it in that match at WrestleMania.
He didn't have a match at Mania. He was supposed to, but he didn't. He ended up just slugging Chris Jericho. He was supposed to, but his agents and publicists said, don't wrestle at WrestleMania because it's going to hurt your chances being nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah,
for Oscar season coming up. They see wrestling as a lower art form. They see it as, you know, reaching and these kind of things. And then he didn't get nominated anyways. But he just went in there and just, you know, slugged Chris Jericho was all he did. He didn't even throw a super kick or a clothesline or anything. But no, he trained really well for the movie, you know, because he wanted to be able to do all of his own stunts and everything. But, and you know, that, I mean, they've had a few people that, you know, have gone in there and put in a little bit more. You know, I even though she wasn't great, I think Maria Menounos, you know, tried to put forth the effort and all this. Like, she went into that WrestleMania tag match with a cracked rib that she hurt herself, you know, doing like a couple weeks before the show. And she was like, no, I'm going to do this. So they had to adjust and give her less because of her injury. But, you know, she went in there and tried to put in the work as opposed to somebody who just kind of showed up and you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to press body slam somebody and then that's it, you know. I just want to look cool and tough and stand in the ring.
Heck, even Snooki did a good job.
No.
Like I said, she just ran in and did like three moves. She didn't do anything the whole match until the finish. She hit a couple knockdowns, and then Mundo picked her up, and they did that double team where he just dropped her, and that was it. That was all she did. And that's pretty much the way celebrities had always been done. Very, very minimal, you know, work. Basically, they just come in and do a couple things and take a pin. I mean, look at Jay Leno in WCW, you know? He didn't even hit the move that got the pin for his match. But you look at like Karl Malone and Rodman, who literally went the fuck out there and were working hard for weeks and weeks and weeks to try and go out there and make that match look good.
Hell, they were even fucking with it on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took it. Yeah. I mean, it helps when the celebrity is like a actual real full-fledged wrestling fan.
Yeah, and so they have a little more respect for it.
Yeah, they actually
want to get in there and do it.
Timing,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Versus just somebody who, you know, you're paying to show up to pretend to be super into it, like a lot of those Raw guest hosts and stuff. Oh, yes, I love World Wrestling Entertainment and the WWE Universe. Yeah, I have been a lifelong fan of the sports entertainment.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I have a TV show on this channel or a movie coming up.
Yep, and I've recently written a book that I'm now promoting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, one person I wish they had done more with is Chuck Norris. Yeah. If only.
Would he have been too powerful for the wrestling ring, though? Like, with all these quote-unquote godlike things that he can do, you know? Was it the wrestlers were afraid of him? Is that it? He's just too powerful? He would have fucking hurt somebody and...
I mean, he
cracked the space-time continuum with a lariat or something?
He took everybody down at the Survivor Series. You know, prevent anybody from... that attack the Undertaker the Royal Rumble from being able to interfere at...
That's pretty much all Chuck wants to do, though. He's a hero. He doesn't want to get in there and take bumps. He just wants to go in there and hit a fucking couple cool moves and look like a tough badass. He knew what he was doing.
Well, he worked for Brock Lesnar. He could do the same thing. Just come in.
How do we still wind up on 94 WWF? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's Patrick's mindset. He goes back to 94. Glory days or whatever.
It was a nostalgic time. It's when I learned how to speak.
What about RoboCop, though? Why couldn't RoboCop have done more? Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see that recent picture of him where Sting's now like a foot taller than him, where RoboCop used to be taller? What the fuck happened, huh? RoboCop shrink? Did they not read the drawing instructions properly? Well, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Picture taken at a recent Comic-Con or something? Recent convention Sting was at in RoboCop, and Sting was like a foot taller than RoboCop, and I'm like, no, look at all the old pictures, like RoboCop's an inch or two taller than Sting. What happened?
Maybe Sting's wearing taller shoes now. Who knows? All right, yeah, so yeah, mad respect, Logan Paul. Jake Paul, I don't know, Jake Paul is interested. The question is, I just don't know. I mean, as much as Jake Paul likes to do the boxing thing, I just don't know if he is as committed to the thing as his brother is.
I mean, they might do a tag match for Mania or something.
Yeah.
Get them both in there.
I don't think he'll be ready, you know, by Mania.
Well, I was going to say if his brother's ready by Mania, which may or may not be depending on surgery recovery.
Which, you know, I mean... you and all your stars at WrestleMania. Rumor being that John Cena might be participating in WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, because why build the current stars? Go ahead and just keep bringing guys back, these part-timers and shit, you know, that John Cena was so adamant about. Now he's becoming what he hated. He's not the scrappy underdog anymore. He's the dynasty.
He's the New York Yankees. The hell he wants to do.
He's become the New York Yankees.
There's rumors that Stone Cold Steve Austin says, "Wait a minute, maybe I could do one more match."
Hey, brother, there's always one more payday, one more match, you know. Till they put your body in the fucking ground, okay? Ask the great Muda. So when Liger retired, and he was doing his press conference after his retirement match at Wrestle Kingdom, people were at like kind of joking, like, "Is this like a for real thing?" He's like, "Well, he's like, yeah, for me it is." He said, "But Muda always told me I can just unretire whenever I want," because Muda's retired like 40 times. So people are even now saying, "Is this like a for real retirement thing that Muda's going through now?" We're gonna have to see, I guess.
Only time will tell.
He's fighting Sting. He's fighting fucking Nakamura. Like, the big guns are coming out. Forbidden fucking door off the hinges, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will say this about Mia Yim. I don't know. Was she let go?
Who?
Was Mia Yim let go?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
fired during a pandemic, man. Come on now.
And so was Selena, right?
No, Selena's never been off the roster.
Selena was never off the roster. Okay,
no.
Okay. So
she was like quote unquote like benched for a little bit because they were, you know, saying that you couldn't do OnlyFans unless it was controlled by WWE or something, and she kind of fought that shit, and then they just kind of gave in. And. And she was never like released. She was just kind of, you know, suspended, benched, sat on the sidelines for a little bit.
She never had the option of going working with her husband. But Mia Yim, surprised that she didn't try to check out what's going on the other side.
I think she probably talked to some of her friends about what's going on the other side and said, "Hey, like, Do you want to be on featured programs, or do you want to be, you know, doing squash matches on YouTube? Like, what's your plan here, friend?"
That women's division is absolute ass cheeks.
I mean, there's a lot of people there, but they just don't know what to do with anybody.
Yeah,
there's a lot of talent there, and they just don't know what to do with it all. And why get added as another member to that ring?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's very possible. I mean, but she could have traveled with, you know, still be with Kid Lee and traveling together. But yeah, I guess, hey, you know.
She wanted to go back to WWE and torment Shelton Benjamin some more, okay?
Keith Lee probably would be back in WWE if he didn't sign with AEW before Vince got fired.
Very good point. How many people do you think thought, "Man, if this only had happened 6 months ago?"
Well, a lot of these people were let go without it being their choice, and then they said, "Well, I need somewhere I can fucking work, like, that's gonna pay me decent." So they went to AEW rather than slum it on the indies and try to handle their, you know, handle all these bookings and merch and all this stuff. Like, just go back to a big company and let them deal all that, and you tell you when and where to fucking go. I bet a lot of them are like, "Man, I, you know."
Adam Cole.
They're snitching on folk, yeah.
Yeah, who let his contract expire, and then like the next week, Triple H is back in charge.
Yeah. Isn't that ironic?
Fuck Adam Cole.
Why fuck Adam Cole now? What's wrong with Adam Cole?
He was the weakest link of the kingdom. Fuck him.
But the kingdom is back in... are you excited about the kingdom?
No, because Tony's going to fuck him up.
You think it'll be that bad?
Of course. Have you not seen what they've done to, like, literally everybody else that they've signed with a name?
I don't watch a lot of it, so.
I mean, to be fair, CM Punk kind of funked himself up. Okay.
Did he, though? A lot of the shit he was saying made a lot of fucking sense. He's just the only one that had the balls to say it.
Yeah, but this thing, he said those things. He, you know, he didn't know how to play the game.
If anybody in that company knows how to play the game, it's CM Punk.
It's fucking Sting, okay? He knows That's how to true, play the actually. Fucking game, okay?
He just lost to him at WrestleMania.
Yeah. When WWF won the Monday Night Wars for the second time, yeah. when the NWO decided to come out and help Sting for no fucking reason, his mortal
not even the
his
wolf
mortal
pack.
Enemies,
yeah, not even the fucking enemies, wolf pack.
No, fucking Hulk Hogan, his goddamn mortal enemy for like 15, 20 fucking years, okay? And like, he comes out, he's like, oh, I'm coming to help you, brother. Let me waddle my honky ass down on this big old ramp while you're in there getting whooped. Like, what the fuck?
Like, at least two of the three made sense. Because, well, one of them. I guess Hall was never technically Wolfpack because he was benched at that point.
Yeah. But Nash was Wolfpack, and Nash was the one who convinced Sting to join Wolfpack, supposedly, or whatever.
Like, what was Conan doing? We could have brought Conan in.
Nobody wants to see Conan, though. Come on.
Yeah. Definitely not. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Lex Luger can't really do anything. So then Sting,
and Macho Man was dead.
Yeah, so fuck, I guess.
Members.
I guess they didn't really have much of a choice.
Just a little dead. Just a little dead. Yeah.
Fuck it. They could have brought Big Show out there. They were WCW stablemates for a minute.
And they were for a while. Yeah.
Speaking about people who didn't have choices, Nick Aldis gave his notice to the NWA that he was not going to sign with them. And, well, he was supposed to be wrestling at Hard Times 3 and at the following tapings. But now he has been taken off that card and all the TV tapings.
Yeah, and Billy's just been shit-talking him. Billy was on Busted Open Radio just the other day, just shit-talking all this.
Like
that, just saying all these things like, oh, turn. Yeah. Yeah. It took the Tony Khan turn is what it did, okay? This guy decides he doesn't want to work with you, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, that guy was a piece of shit, and he wasn't good enough to be here, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, he got too big for his britches, you know? Like, this kind of shit Vince used to say about people, too. Like, you know, basically whenever you piss off a vindictive boss, apparently.
My biggest takeaway from the whole thing is I didn't even know NWA was still running.
Yeah, you did. Don't lie to me.
I legitimately had not heard anything
about
NWA.
We've talked
about
some of the shit. Matt, your boy Cardona's still there and shit. They still put shows on every fucking week.
Oh.
TV
tapings and shit.
Cardona was supposed to go wrestle and got
He was
hurt.
Supposed to on his own named event, and he couldn't because he was hurt. You're not remembering
that
any of this?
That was like last year.
That was like 4 months ago.
That was like last year to me.
No way.
Are we still talking
only a few months ago. You think they just stopped? Like after that show, they were just like, "Oh, Cardona couldn't be there. We gotta fold up ship, brother."
Well, he's the only money maker on the whole fucking roster.
Well, listen, Nick Aldis helped rebuild this NWA, the Billy Corgan NWA.
I mean,
and he hasn't drawn a fucking dime.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're booking places that would actually draw, you know. I mean, I don't know
they
what
couldn't.
They do in other, you know, other states, but when they come to Atlanta and, you know, have shows in the PBS backlot, whatever.
Oh, hot damn! That's a sellout. So, all six seats in that whole place.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Look, if Nick Aldis didn't give a fuck about the company, why should anybody else? Because nobody gives a fuck about Nick Aldis.
Here's the problem. Nick did, okay? Honestly, when Corgan took over, he was like, oh, I'm taking over the NWA, we're going to do big things with it. And then it did fuck all for, like, a couple of years, okay? They ran, like, a pay-per-view event or something in 2 years. And then Aldis took over, and Aldis was the guy who literally went to all these different places, including, you know, working with Ring of Honor and working with, you know, All Elite and all these things to try and bring some eyes to what they were doing, okay? And be like, hey, we're trying to do something. We're trying to reinvent this. So they literally built this around him, you know, and he did so much for them. And then, you know, he was feeling that he was kind of being cast aside. And, of course, they were doing a lot, you know, he felt they were kind of disrespecting, you know, Mickey and all this with, you know, when it came in regards to how Empower kind of came about and then fell apart, you know, afterwards and these kind of things. And, you know, Billy, of course, was then saying, oh, well, that's because Tony Khan tried to take, you know, credit for making it all happen and all this. Like, well, then fucking step up and say something, Billy, you know, whatever happened to your 90s, you know, your 90s DIY spirit, brother. Don't let somebody say that they wrote Bullet with a Butterfly Wings when you know you fucking wrote it, okay? Don't let somebody else say that they made Siamese Dream when you're the one who made fucking Siamese Dream.
I'm going to assume these are Smashing Pumpkins songs.
Yes. The first one was a song. The second one was their biggest album. Okay?
Gotcha.
But yes, these were 90s things, okay? So he complained, and then he's like, oh, we didn't do it this time because, you know, we put it all together and everything, and I ended up losing money on it. And, like, you know, I told Mickey we could do it, but, you know, there weren't enough people on the, you know, enough quality talent on the scene who could draw, is what he claimed. Okay. And yes and no. I mean, the thing is that, yeah, Tony Khan signed a bunch of people and all this. And when they did Empower, like a third to a half of the roster was on loan from AEW, you know, but there's still quality talent on there. You got to take the time to fucking make people care about them who don't know them from the independent scene. You know, you can't just like slap an event together and hope everybody knows who everybody is and gives a shit why they're fighting. You know, like you wouldn't do that with a normal pay-per-view. So Nick was kind of mad about that, you know, about how they treated it and all that, because it was all Mickey's, you know, it was ultimately Mickey's brainchild and her idea, and she put it all together and these kind of things. And then, you know, he just himself felt disrespected, felt they disrespected his, you know, his wife as well. And he was looking to do something else, you know, like, hey, if you guys aren't going to do, you know, use me in this capacity more, I'm going to weigh out my options. And they got fucking crabby. They got pissy and were like, oh, well, if you don't want to come back in 2 months, well, we're just not going to use you right now. Like, and just shut them down. You know? Oh, we, you know, like a couple days before the pay-per-view and the tapings, they were just like, oh yeah, you know, Nick's not going to be here. What? You know,
And according to Nick, he was willing to finish out his contract.
So yeah, absolutely. He didn't say like, hey, I'm quitting. He just said his contract was supposed to come up in January, and he's like, hey, when that comes up, like, I don't, you know, I don't intend to re-sign with the NWA. I want to see what else is out there. And, you know, that's where they got fucking, and they were like, oh, well, you don't want to be with us in January. Well, you can't be with us now, you know, like, that's kind of some vindictive shit. But, you know, fucking rich people would be fucking rich people. And that's what they're going to do.
I know one Smashing Pumpkins song.
You probably know more than you think you do.
Yeah.
I know today.
But I'm on rage. I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Nope.
All right. You never heard that song before?
Not in my brain. Maybe. It's not one that I recall.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
We're fucking going to Wrestle Kingdom.
Battle Autumn, Revit Autumn. That's his name. Right. Happened November 5th as well. that, you know, Akira and TJP retained their junior heavyweight titles.
Good match. Yeah. They were fucking running the whole time. It was like a damn sprint. But the boys went out there and they worked fucking hard.
The TV title tournament continued with the semifinals. Rhett, Narita, and Zack Sabre Jr. Winning.
Advancing. That. Yeah. I really like those TV title matches. The way they've been pairing people up is they've already had, similar to like G1, where you already have some established feuds when these guys meet up. But then you have this added, like, you only have 15 minutes. So they turn their rivalries into fucking sprints. You know, Goto and Kenta went out there and beat the tar out of each other. You know, just fucking ran at each other. And that's how most it's been. Ishii and Narita just ran the fuck at each other. You know, took what would normally be like a 25 plus minute main event and smashed it into like 14. And it's fucking awesome. And Red Narita's coming out looking like he's a fucking future world champion. You know, whether he wins this TV tournament or not, you know, I mean, the crowd's taken to him really well. You know, him as the son of Strong Style, you know, basically, you know, Shibata reborn. And, I mean, this whole thing in 2022, the 50th anniversary of New Japan, you know, Antonio Inoki just passing, like, the crowd is eating this shit up. They always love when the Young Lions come back because he's kind of like, he's one of our guys. He's getting better. Let's see what he can do. And Narita's out there fucking throwing down. It's fun to watch, man.
FTR retained the IWGP tag team titles.
A little surprised by that, actually. I think most people expected them to drop those belts since they have no intention of taking part in World Tag League because Tony's not going to let his guys go away for a whole month.
Not that he even remembers that they're on the roster.
Half the time, apparently not. No, despite the fact that they hold multiple tag titles in his promotion. He's just like, oh yeah, they're sometimes here. They're around when they're around. But he definitely doesn't want to let somebody else make a bunch of money off him for an entire month. So pretty much the World Tag League once again is gonna be number one contendership, and I'm guessing they will fight, you know, FTR will fight the winners of Wrestle Kingdom. No official announcement on that yet, but that's kind of what the speculation is right now.
Now, your main event, Will Ospreay defeating Naito to retain the IWGP United States title.
I think it was fairly interesting in the press conference when Ospreay started ripping into Naito for his treatment of the Intercontinental Championship. He's like, you're the fucking reason we don't have that belt around anymore. First off, you treated it like a piece of garbage. Second, you were the one who's like, let's be double champion. Let's put the fucking belts together. He's like, you're the reason we don't have that. He's like, I don't want you to treat this belt the same way. He said, everything you touch turns to shit. And Naito, sitting right there being a smartass, reaches over and touches Tsukubayashi, the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, who was sitting in between them and just kind of puts his hand on his shoulder and kind of stares at Ospreay with a smirk like, I'm going to turn him into a pile of shit. I mean, it was a good match. You know, I think Ospreay right now is just doing more things with that U.S. title because he's willing to travel internationally. I don't know if Naito is willing to right now. But Ospreay is willing to jump back and forth to the U.S., you know, go to the U.K. You know, a month ago he was over in the Rev Pro, finally dropping that Rev Pro belt. You know, so I think he's a better representative of what the United States title is in the fact that it's supposed to be defended, you know, on American soil, at least some of the time. But then, I'm sorry, am I boring you, Patrick? Are you snoring again? You fall asleep?
No, I'm just, like I tell people, I've been, you know, gaining weight. So now I breathe heavy. I just forgot to, hit the mute when I'm
mute while you were snoring. Gotcha. It sounded like you were snoring. I was just fucking with you, but
no. Go ahead.
But then after this, speaking of young lions returning from excursion, now known as the Roughneck, I don't think I like that handle. But Shota Umino is back, looking like a young Tanahashi. Lays out Ospreay, puts down the challenge. He wants the United States Championship because he's been in the U.S. on his excursion, working, doing strong and bouncing around and traveling and these kind of things. So that will be on the 11/20 show in, I can't remember where that show is. It's here in the United States, which is why we don't get it free on New Japan World. They want us to pay for it on pay-per-view. Because it takes place like in the United States.
44 something or other.
Oh, golly. Like in New York or something, or Philadelphia, yeah. Or some shit. It's somewhere up north. I know that, but couldn't remember exactly where. Maybe it's New York.
Rumble on 44th Street.
Okay.
Oh, no, that already Sport. Happened. That was on the 28th. So what okay. We already had that one in New York.
Okay,
they're so doing, this one's doing somewhere else. New Japan right? Showdown.
This is the Showdown, the Stardom show as well, with the mixed tag matches that I found out recently due to the press conference. Only men versus the men and women versus the women on those matches. So it will be more mixed tag rather than intergender.
That's on a historic X over.
That's a historic crossover, yeah.
Yeah, historic X over. Fun match here. We have a lot of different matches with the kickoff show and the Stardom Rainbow as two matches. And so it's Ishii, Yoshihashi, Yo, and Leo Rush versus the House of Torture. Quest,
Leo Rush is now kind of joining Chaos. At least I don't know if he's full fledged member yet, but he and Yo were also announced to be part of the Junior Tag League.
Yeah. Did I hear Donna Del Mundo?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Now I'm interested.
Were you not? So there's the Stardom and New Japan crossover show on 11/20. They're having a mixed tag tournament. They have a few matches that are merely Stardom talent, and then they have several matches that like. One New Japan guy teams with one Stardom girl against rivals on the other side. But they're going to be mixed tag matches. It's going to be the girls have to fight the girls, the boys have to fight the boys.
Shuri and Tom Lawler.
Basically, yeah.
Julia and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, at least Julia has a good partner. Yay.
Yeah. Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, Taishi, and Yoshi Kanemaru. Versus Starlight Kid, Momo Watanabe, El Desperado, and Dookie.
On that side, you actually have two members of Suzuki Goon versus two members of Suzuki Goon.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Utami Hayashishita and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Maika and Hiroki Goto in there. And Los Ingobernables de Japón versus United Empire. The Great Muta, Toriyanu, and Okada versus the United Empire. Will Ospreay versus Shota Umino. I'm sorry. And, of course, in your main event to crown the first ever IWGP Women's Champion, Kairi versus Mayu Iwatani.
Go Kairi.
Kairi, who will also be that same weekend challenging for the white belt in Stardom. So,
woo!
2 days back to back, she could end up being holding Stardom's white belt and be the first ever IWGP women's champion. A lot of people are thinking that Kairi is going to take that belt because it is supposed to be, you know, that the story behind this belt is that it would be used more in the United States to go with the New Japan America shows, the strong tapings, that it would be here. So they were the theory is that since Kairi is an already established name in the United States with more fans being with their time with WWE, that they would use her as the first champion to help kind of promote that. as opposed to Mayu. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Kairi really wants a U.S. heavy schedule. I mean, there's a reason she didn't sign with WWE, you know, because she didn't want to spend so much time. She didn't want to have to come back and live in the United States. But I guess maybe coming back and forth for a few days here and there, or a week here and there, is much better than having to fucking live in Florida and not being able to go back to Japan and see your husband and your family.
Yeah. All right, with that said, though, we do have some tournaments, the World Tag League starting out, as well as the
Super Junior Tag League.
So
same the time.
The World Tag League, we have Aussie Open, Suzuki and Lance Archer, Tanahashi and Yano, Goto and Yoshihashi, Alex Coughlin and Gabriel Kidd, Naito and Sonata, Great O'Conn and Hinari, Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes.
Yeah, fucking TMDK together, baby. The real TMDK.
Batlock Foley and Chase Owens, Evil and Yuhiro Takahashi as your teams for the World Tag League. Then on the Super Junior Tag League here, we have Akira and TJP, Takushi and Clark Connors, Kushida and Kevin Knight, Tiger Mask and Robbie Eagles, Alex Zane and El Lindemann, Titan and Bushi, Leo Rush and Kenimaru and Duki, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, and Sho and
the Bullet Club of Chris Bay and Ace Austin.
Is that the only really? No, you got Chase Owens and Battle for India.
Owens and Fala, yeah. Yeah, because Carl and Doc ain't going to work the World Tag League either.
Yeah, no, probably not.
I mean, they ain't. I mean, they're signed with WWE, you know? WWE's not going to let them go away for 3 weeks. They wouldn't let them skip the Saudi show to defend a New Japan championship, which he was supposed to defend against Hikuleo, and Hikuleo was like, hey, don't strip Anderson. I want to beat his ass for the belt. I don't want to win the belt without getting my hands on him. So he told New Japan, do not strip Carl Anderson. Bring him in another time, and I'll fight him and beat him then. So, yeah, I guess probably prior to their signing, there was maybe intention to have the Good Brothers in World Tag League. But, yeah, that's definitely not happening now.
Definitely. You can't risk it. So yeah, lots of tag teams, lots of matches to happen. This is gonna start November 21st, carry on all the way through the I think the 14th of December. So lots of time to watch lots of stuff. Eric, any additional thoughts here on the New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Go Julia.
One job, Eric. One job.
Oh, you want me to say the thing? Okay. Do it one more time. I got you.
All right. So, Eric.
He's not going to do it right. He's going to fuck it up on purpose. Okay.
I know. But I'm humoring him on this bit, okay? So, Eric, any final thoughts here on the New Japan Pro Wrestling and all its upcoming tournaments?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Yeah. Who, surprisingly, is not going to be at WrestleCade. I figure everybody.
I don't remember him being there at all, actually. Like, yeah, ever.
I was going to say, I don't ever remember.
In the years that we've been going, he's never been.
Yeah, but they're bringing other people. I mean, they're going to have Rob Van Dam, Sabu, The Sandman. I mean,
they did the ECW reunion a couple years ago, and Raven wasn't part of it. So I don't know if he really wants to do those things anymore. He may be like, eh, I'm kind of trying to move away from that shit, you know?
You know who was there, though?
The whole Sandman. Thing, maybe. He was sleeping.
And Johnny Swinger, baby. Johnny Swinger was there, baby.
Sandman is the shock of the century.
New Jack showed up. That's who the shock of the fucking century.
Oh yeah, no, okay. No, that's the way. Yeah, everybody was just vibing out to Enter Sandman, and then New Jack's music hit, and the crowd goes, "Oh shit!"
And the New Jack apparently stole the whole panel, just telling all kinds of raunchy fucking stories about gangbangs and shit.
Good for New Jack. Fuck him. Fuck him. Good for New Jack.
We and now he did. Jack.
Rest in peace, New Jack. We missed you, bud.
All right, so that's enough for the talk here on New Japan Pro Wrestling. But yes, Danny and I are officially going to the land of the rising sun. Is that the correct term for it?
No. Yeah, I mean that's 1994 WCW.
Oh. I know that's 1989. He was, you know, when Muda was the Pearl of the Orient and shit. I mean, people have said that, yeah, the Land of the Rising Sun. I don't think it's really popular to say that now, but yes, we're going to fucking Japan. We're going to Tokyo. We're going to Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash, and it's gonna be the best shit ever. I'm hyped. I'm already trying to learn some Japanese. Using apps on my phone.
Deal. But are you gonna go eat McGriddles from Japanese McDonald's super early in the morning?
I don't know if McGriddles are still there, but I definitely intend to hit up at least one, you know, quote unquote American fast food restaurant just to see how different it is.
Oh, the McDonald's are like hella different. Like their food's actually
everything great. Everything is the food's way different. Like the app, it's all catered towards the local clientele, of course. You know, like their taste and what food's available and these kind of things. Like they have McDonald's or whatever in, you know, in Muslim countries where they're not allowed to eat beef. So how do you make a fucking, you know, like it's McDonald's, it's a hamburger place, but they cater their menu, they change it. You know, KFC for whatever reason is apparently really popular in Japan. They love the fucking Colonel's fried chicken. But there's probably also a lot of stuff like, you know, that's more local taste dishes that we definitely wouldn't have here. So I'm going to hit up at least, well, I tend to hit up at least one just to be like, holy shit, this is way different than any Burger King I've ever been to, bro. You know, like, or whatever.
Give me back some McDonald's. They have a cool teriyaki burger.
I don't know if customs would allow me to bring, like, fast food like that.
Well, tell customs to suck my dick.
My friend Eric said to suck his dick if I couldn't bring back this teriyaki burger from Tokyo that's been sitting in my travel bag for 3 days.
Exactly. It'll keep. It's McDonald's.
Leaking all over my fucking clothes and shit and my souvenirs that I spent so much money on.
It's McDonald's. You know it'll keep. It'll keep for like 6 years.
It's already cooked. I mean, what's to go bad, right?
Exactly. I think we lost Patrick.
I was going to say, that sounds like actual snoring. That's not just breathing heavy.
No, it is.
I mean, that wasn't just breathing, because though. That was like a...
that was okay, me. I was distracted because I've been scrolling down here. I'm like, I'm going to see if I'm missing anything. Did you guys watch Rampage last week?
No. That would require me to watch a shit show.
Shibata? Mm-hmm. I saw some clips of it, and Orange Cassidy got the crap kicked out of him. You know, his chest was like was beat up, but he won the match because it's his show, brother. It's the OC show. It ain't an old Japanese guy. Okay. You came out of retirement to fight the guy in sunglasses.
Fuck pockets.
Yeah. All right, so I guess
the rumor. Well, you got to go back to the other rumor if we're going to talk about Shibata and AEW. Okay, apparently, because Shibata went to talk to New Japan, and they're like, "Hey, we don't want to use you right now." And he said, "Well, I want to get in the ring somewhere," and so that's when he went to try to look to AEW, and he started working out a deal. And the rumor is he asked for two matches with two specific people. The first one being Cassidy, the other one being the American Dragon. So we saw the Orange Cassidy match. When are we going to get Shibata and Bryan Danielson kicking the shit out of each other? The way that Suzuki and Danielson kicked the shit out of each other.
Shibata don't want to get his fucking head kicked in. He don't want the smoke.
He ain't trying to fight the Street Profits.
You right. Street Profits would be easier than Bryan Danielson. Danielson's going to kick his fucking teeth down his throat.
Not if Shibata does it first.
He wishes. There's a reason that Bryan Danielson's the best in the world.
He is.
Oh, this will be fun.
What's fun?
Oh, I'm playing. College football revamped, and their best player is a punter.
So, okay, so we got WrestleCade coming up. Yup. We got Wrestle Kingdom. It's going to be awesome. Thank you.
This Saturday, I'm going to Deadlock Pro up in Concord, North Carolina, which will feature Jungle Kiona, Sumi Sakai, Emi Sakura, several others of their regular people, but I know that they've been bringing in that group of traveling Joshis together. I've been wanting to go check their stuff out for a while, but they've always been kind of the northeastern half of North Carolina, like Raleigh and these kind of things that are just kind of a little too far for me to justify.
Raleigh's going, a stupid drive.
Myself, yeah, it's like 7 or 8 hours from me, and then you add the 2 hours for you to, you know, go up, you know, if you were to even come up to Raleigh. But Concord's like 3.5 hours from me, so I'm heading up there this Saturday. To the place that all the shows are there in Concord, Charlotte area. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. I get to go see them, and you know, and then yeah, in just a couple more weeks is fucking WrestleCade, and then the WWE Super Show. You guys go into that? Have you guys bought tickets for that yet? The one at the
end of December. I'll be there front row.
I'm not going to be front row.
Mm-hmm. Front row. How much were front row tickets to the Super Show, Patrick? More than we paid for Wrestle Kingdom tickets. That's more than we paid for tickets to Wrestle Kingdom show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we paid more because we got the travel package and all the extras and shit, but, but the actual price of tickets for Wrestle Kingdom were not that expensive. Yeah.
No, but you know, I mean, it's not televised. So, obviously it's a little bit different. I'll get to, you know, meet and greets. I have some photo opportunities with some selected superstars. I get
to. So will I if I go to the parking lot.
They're gonna give me a mini belt replica. You know, and a few extra things. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it
goes. Is that all that stuff's included with the front row, or is that like
you got
deep hookups or something?
No, it's part of the package.
So who are you supposed to be getting pictures with? Do you know yet?
No. I mean, they'll probably be you know, whoever they decide the day off.
Titus O'Neil and fucking Dana Brooke or something.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, Dana Brooke's probably about to get fired
because she was talking shit. Yeah, she was all mad that they threw the 24/7 belt away. Like, literally got mad. Like, I've been
working so hard to try to make that belt mean something. And Nikki just threw it in the trash.
Well, but the best part about it is she missed. I was about to say the best part about it, she missed the fucking trash.
Because she was looking up in the air. She wasn't looking at where she was throwing. She just looking up in the air and like peripherally just kind of dropped it towards the trash can and just completely missed it. Yeah.
But Bailey's reaction was the best.
Like, she just threw it and it like completely missed, but she still went with it. She just kept on going. Right?
Just kept going, yeah. Yeah. Online, she's like, yeah, Mr. Trash Can. I know I'm Mr. Trash Can. You want to fight about it?
And the best part is, like, if you watch it, because I watched the clip again, Bailey's in the back just, like, losing like, her shit. Like, she's trying so hard to keep it together. Laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. Okay. I love Nikki.
Speaking of losing it, can we just take a moment? Because we really haven't talked about this much, I don't think.
Are we feeling oozy today?
Bro. Sami Zayn, he's got to be the MVP of the league right now.
100%.
I mean, he's always been entertaining. He's always been great, but just like right now.
But this shit he's doing is beautiful.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it's kind of like he looks for opportunities to get into great character. In every segment, but yeah, the whole Uzi one, that was fantastic. And dude, I'm like, it's so good. Like,
watching Jay, the whole time.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, my wife, who's not a wrestling fan, she's like, if you buy me an Uzi t-shirt, this is before they made the Uzi t-shirt, she goes, I'll wear it. I'm like, it's just like...
That's hilarious.
Fantastic.
Like, watching Jay try so hard to just act serious afterwards and just not being able to was literally the best part.
And I don't know if this is true, but I heard that, like, Solo was also losing it. That's why
he wasn't on TV, yeah.
At all. And they kept the camera completely off him because there was just no way that he was able to hide that.
I've watched that segment like 87 times since it's happened, and like every single time that I watch it, something else catches my eye. Like watching what are their names? Jimmy and Paul just like looking at each other, and Paul just looks incredulous, and Jimmy's like, yeah, fuck it, I'm done. And he just starts laughing. And then, you know, Jay tries to turn around, and Roman's like, nah, you gonna look right this way. Look this way. Mm-hmm. Like, you ain't getting away with it.
Yeah, it's like at the end, it's like, Roman's like, I don't even know how to continue with this. He just throws the microphone over to Paul. Like, you do this.
And, like, even at the end when he's like, if you guys can't get along, I'm going to make his name Sammy Uso. Like, he you know he wants to be serious at that part because it's part of the storyline, but he's still trying to not crack up.
Yeah.
I love it. WWE's gotten so good in the last few months.
You know, I mean, maybe CM Punk was wrong about the doofus idiot son-in-law ruining this thing. I mean, maybe that's the line, but right now it's pretty darn enjoyable.
And while we're on the subject of WWE, let's talk about the amazing booking decision that they made Monday, taking the Money in the
Rollins
Bank. Yeah. Double switching Bobby and Seth, and then a failed cash-in on the United States title?
I mean... He wasn't going to cash in on Roman, so...
Hell no.
Yeah. I liked it.
I do, too, because fuck Austin Theory, for starters, but secondly... fuck Austin Theory. I was happy with it. Like,
yeah,
the golden goose is gone now, so he can't suck up to Vince like he was doing, obviously, and Vince doesn't love him, and Triple H is just like, nah, fuck you, dog. I ain't got shit for you.
Yeah, and also with the whole Seth thing, right? I mean, like, yeah, sure, he's a great bad guy, but, I mean, you got the fans singing and humming along to his song every single time he comes out. Mm-hmm. It's like, the people adore him right now. It's just like, okay, just go with it. You know, that's a great thing about pro wrestling. And when people are listening to the crowd, it's just like, okay, well, it's time to that way you naturally need to turn, and eventually it'll happen for Roman, right? Well, they'll be clamoring. They need Roman to be that baby face, but and it all work out then. But yeah, it's nice to see like that progression, and it makes sense. I think with Seth at this point, the different incarnations of what he's been doing has been great. But I think it's good to give him a nice baby face run. I mean, and I don't think he's gonna really change much. So that's gonna make it interesting.
Agreed. But, yeah. Seth hasn't really done very much as a baby in WWE, and I mean it's cool, but with his gimmick now, I think he can make it work. Because he's just going to be just crazy enough to make it, you know, seem like he's not crazy. And that's, I'm not even sure
the same shit. He's just going to fight bad guys now.
Yeah, and I'm not even 100% sure. He's going to be one of those characters
who's really not going to change much. He's going to be Randy Orton. Randy Orton doesn't really change much. He just changes who he's fucking over and fighting.
He may win the character a itself matches.
Doesn't change this day and age.
So, that may change.
Well, Seth really, even as a heel, didn't lose a lot.
I mean, just about every title just match big against matches. Roman. Yeah, just about almost every pay-per-view.
And Cody. 3 in a row to Cody.
Well, yeah, because we're establishing Cody again. Because he needed establishing.
But yeah, things are fun right now. But it's just, you know, and the ratings are not hurting. I'm still not completely sold on this whole NXT stuff. And it's, I mean, I like watching it here and there, but it's not must-see right now like Mondays and Fridays are for me.
I haven't really been paying much attention to NXT recently, honestly. Danger mentioned somebody last night to me, and I'm like, I don't really know who that is.
Yeah. But they are going to be part of WrestleMania weekend. I believe they announced NXT Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
Stand up with WWE.
I think it's happening Saturday afternoon, like, because I think that's what they do last year.
I don't think it will, because Mania is still 2 nights.
Yeah, but they already said that Mania is going to be 2 nights again this year. Yeah.
They just didn't deliver in the afternoon, I thought. Because they're doing Friday night, the SmackDown and the Hall of Fame. Then Stand and Deliver in the afternoon Saturday.
Didn't last year they do it? I thought they did it on Thursday. Hall of Fame on Thursday.
No, they did Hall of Fame during SmackDown or after SmackDown, not during SmackDown. But yeah, you're right. They did do Stand and Deliver at like 12:00. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. It was a fucking noon show. Yeah, it was weird. Because then WrestleMania night one started at like 5 or something.
Seven,
yeah.
The pre-show coverage started at 5, sir.
Yeah, pre-show did start at 5. That. I watched the pre-show. I enjoyed the pre-show. All to see my girl.
This was Dallas, right?
Huh?
What's this Dallas?
Was what Dallas?
WrestleMania.
This year... Yeah, it was. Next year is Hollywood.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I was there. I wasn't watching the pre-show because I was in line trying to get in.
I was watching the pre-show for Bayla.
But, yeah, it's... let's see here. Yeah, doesn't have a time, but yeah, April the 1st. It's going to be at the crypto.com arena.
Oh, lovely.
Yep. So
the former SoFi.
No, it's the former Staples.
Oh yeah, that's right. I thought it was going to be in the Rams Stadium. I guess not.
Well, the WrestleMania is going to be at the SoFi Stadium.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, Stand and Deliver. Thought it was Stand and Deliver. That's happening in the crypto.com arena. But yeah. I think that's all I have. Oh, business. I just saw this. So Peacock is doing a Teddy Hart docuseries. You guys hear about this?
It has been filming off and on and in the works
for years.
And been talked about for several years, yeah.
Because Teddy Hart's a piece of shit.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff they can talk about with him, yeah.
Yes.
Because this should have some kind of connection to the Chance and Race guy, or Chance and whatever the fuck his name was, because they were like buddy buddy on this thing. Like, I know Teddy was supposedly involved with this girl, but like Rance has been like very defensive every time that somebody mentions it to him too. So I don't know. Wrestlers are fucking weird, man.
That's how they are. Thinking wrestlers. But, yeah. Well, listen, guys. I think, I don't know about you guys. I'm stoked. I'm gonna hope and pray, there, Eric, that whatever you need, take care of, change it so you can join us at WrestleCade. But if not, you definitely will be missed. But yeah, the end of the year's upon us. We have a lot of wrestling shows and a few more podcasts before we head over to the Tokyo. And that was enough to make me do a whole like one straight flight. Wouldn't even let me do like a little stop in Seattle for a break.
Nope.
Because he's a monster like that. But it'll be fun. And we get to go back in time because the return flight is like we leave at 7 something on the 6th and we arrive at like 5 something on the 6th. So yeah, we're actually going back in time. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll be zombies, but we'll be back in time. So can't wait to talk about all this and more in the upcoming weeks. Thank you all for listening. Continue to listen to us on different platforms we're on. Podbean, Stitcher, Amazon, iTunes, and everywhere else. Check us out on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on Twitter at 423X. Mika's on Twitter. At Mickey Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.